When the hills of Los Angeles, Los Angeles, I'm in most Hollywood night. She goes to California, oh, California.
California,
what would you say about Los Angeles?
LA got the people saying,
listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Guessman, and on tonight's show, we have a great show lined up for you. We're going to talk about the Chargers coming to Los Angeles and, of course, taking over StubHub Center. We've got LA Galaxy 2 coaches and joining us live in studio for the first half hour of the show, just returned back from loan, is Jack McBean. So we got a bunch to talk about, so don't go anywhere. Want to take your calls as well. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now here's your host, Josh Guessman. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Very, very glad to have you all with us live on YouTube. Remember, that's where you can find all of our live shows all the time. Almost every Thursday we have a live show, so please join us there. We're looking forward to having you, all right? We've got a great show lined up for you. Like I said, we are going to talk about the Chargers coming into StubHub Center for this next upcoming year in 2017. We have LA Galaxy 2 coaches. They have been named a new LA Galaxy 2 coach. And of course, as I said, we are going to be joined right now, straight back from loan, from none other than Mr. Jack McBean. Jack, thanks for stopping by. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We got Jack here, like, literally. Would you get home on Monday night?
Monday night, yep.
Monday night, so still a little jet lagged.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good thing. That's not horrible. I mean, you were there for a while. How long did that loan end up being?
It was just about 6 months. Just on the dot, yeah.
Just about almost 6 months. So now, if I remember correctly, which I definitely do because I've been following your progression through the last year, you left USL as the leading goal scorer, and I guess the Galaxy decided that they wanted to give you better competition. Was that the general idea?
Yeah. I mean, it was easy for me to go over there. I have my British passport, so it was, you know, no issue on that end.
Right.
And, yeah, they had a relationship with Coventry City, and they kind of inquired about me a little bit, and I made this decision to go over there.
Yeah, and it happened. Did it first start? And I believe this is correct at the MLS homegrown players game, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So how did that go about? I mean, what's the process of that whole thing starting, and how'd you end up, and how quickly were you gone?
Yeah, it was really fast. I mean, like you said, I went. From a Galaxy 2 game straight to San Jose for the homegrown game. And a couple hours before the game, I met with Pete and Chris in the lobby, and they kind of brought it up to me and my agent as well. And my parents came up later that night and spoke with them about it. And after, you know, a little conversation and just seeing if it was going to be the right thing for me to do, made the decision to go forward with it and was gone within a week.
Wow. So everything, a real whirlwind sort of thing happened. It's even more of a whirlwind that you had just re-signed with the LA Galaxy instead of LA Galaxy 2. I mean, we talk about you being a homegrown player, and how old were you when you first signed with the LA Galaxy?
16.
16 years old. All right. Barely old enough to drive. All right. So you signed with the LA Galaxy. But for a while there, you had some success. In fact, I remember a game against Real Salt Lake where everything sort of turned on its head when I think it was Nat Borchers broke your collarbone. Was that about right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so we all, and I think a lot of us remember that. That was sort of your rise in the star, and everybody could sort of see that coming. But after that, it took a little bit of a different direction, let's say.
Yeah, it was hard to get back to, get back to starting with the first team. And I never really did. that year or the next year. But Galaxy 2 coming in really helped me, you know, figure out that I really want to do this as a profession. And I think it really helped me improve my game.
Yeah. And so, but prior to that homegrown game, you were on an LA Galaxy 2 contract, and LA Galaxy re-signed you. You regained that homegrown status, which everybody knows my saga of confirming and then denying and then confirming your homegrown status. Yeah. So was a saga in my life. But no, it comes up, and then next thing you know, you're off to Coventry. By the way, you barely lost the USL Golden Boot. I mean, I think you finished third for the year, and you weren't there for the last half of the season.
Yeah. No, it all, like you said, it all happened really fast, but you know, it was a great experience for me, and I'm happy I went out there.
Yeah, it seems like it. So now you go over, you fly across the pond. It's a place that you've been before, obviously. Coventry City. What was your first sort of impression there?
So flew in to Birmingham Airport, a couple hours away from London, which had been, you know, that's kind of what everyone thinks about when they go to England, and that's right. Where people thought I was going to London. But just kind of in the Midlands. It was totally different than Southern California, than where I've grown up and what I've been used to. But I mean, after a month or so, I got settled in, had a routine, and was happy playing and enjoying playing football out there, and football, soccer, yeah, out there. And it was good.
Now a lot of people, I think that there were some question marks. You're in USL, you're doing really well in USL, you go over to third tier English football. There's a lot of people who are sort of questioning whether third tier English football is better than third tier US soccer. What did you think of the level of play over at Coventry?
It was high. I mean, it was very physical. Pace of the game is pretty hectic, back and forth. A lot of teams just kick it up to a big striker and play off them. So I'd say, you know, it's just different. It's just a lot different. It's hard to explain, but
how would you even explain USL soccer? I always tell people that it's basically a sprint up the field in one direction and then a sprint up the field in the other direction. That goes on for about 90 minutes.
Yeah, some teams play like that. I think at LA we play a little bit more and have possession. We're kind of a more possession oriented team,
right?
Which Coventry was as well,
right?
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So.
Right now, you played a lot with the U21s there. Had a couple of games with the senior team there. What did the U21s? What did all that, you know, sort of provide you? Do you think you came out of it a better player, or do you think maybe you stagnated there?
I hope so. I mean, I went over there and didn't immediately get in with the first team. You know, it took me a while. I really had to work my way into it, and like you said, scored some goals with the 21s and proved myself to whoever the manager was at the time.
Right. Because that changed while you were there, right?
Yeah, three times.
Three
so
times.
That was a crazy experience as well. But playing with the 21s was fun. The guys on the team were hilarious, funny dudes, good players as well. I had fun playing.
Was there another American over there or somebody that you knew or were able to hook up with? I think I remember hearing that.
Yeah, Andy Rose, who played for Seattle. He went to UCLA. He's playing out there. So it was awesome to have him out there. I mean, he took me in from day one and kind of showed me the ropes and, you know, took me over to his family's house and stuff, which was really, really nice of him. So it was good to have him out there.
Yeah, I can understand that. Having a friendly face is always a good thing, maybe in a strange land for a little while. Let's go back to before re-signing with the LA Galaxy. You started out, and we've talked about this a little off-air, and so it's not a surprise. We talk about you were carpooling at one point with Jovan Karofsky as he was driving up from San Diego to StubHub Center. He would pick you up, right?
Yeah, I mean, he'd pick me up, and then I'd drive him as well. we met in Newport, and we'd drive up together. It was good times.
Yeah, we joked around. I think Jared Dubois, my co-host at one point, said you guys needed your own radio show and that he would listen to it called Jovan and the Bean.
There you go.
So whenever you get a hold of Jovan, see if you guys want some microphones. I'll lend you guys some equipment. We can make that happen. But what was, you know, what did you get out of that? I mean, do you learn something from that? Do you not? Is there time spent in the car talking with somebody like Jovan Karofsky?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at a guy like Jovan, he's played at the highest level in Germany and in England as well. Maybe at the time they're just stories. But I think looking back on it, you know, when I go out to England, I kind of knew what to expect a little bit because of him. And when I was out there, he was actually out there as well. I saw him out there. So, Jovan and I have a good relationship as well.
Yeah. So we talk about that relationship. The other one that I wanted to touch on, which I heard was very important to you, and I think that it's one of the people, it's Pablo Mastroianni is who we're going to end up talking about, obviously the current Colorado Rapids head coach, had a great year last year. But he was your roommate at one point whenever he was playing on the LA Galaxy, right?
Yeah, so it was kind of a weird situation. He had gotten traded for the last half the season, and I had been living at home for 3 years, and I was itching to move out. And he didn't want to move his whole family out here because he was only here for about 6 months.
So right.
We grabbed a place up in Manhattan Beach for 3 months. And Pablo's a great guy on and off the field. You know, he's really good influence in the locker room. All the guys loved him. And I learned a lot from living with him, but off the field and especially on the field.
Yeah, what were some of the things you learned off the field? I mean, what does his influence do to, you know, a younger you?
Yeah, I mean, Pablo's he's just a funny guy. He's a happy guy. He just kind of gave me a new perspective on how to look at some things. Not even soccer related, but soccer related. He was healthy. He always was making these like green shakes with what he called power, just power in them. He would cook for me and tell stories, same kind of way Jovan did, you know, long careers and just to see these guys like so humble like that is pretty cool.
What was your favorite? You guys watched TV together? Was there your favorite junk television show that you guys maybe watched?
Not too much TV.
Pablo was a focused guy.
He was more relaxed. You know, we lived by the beach. He played guitar. I started playing guitar because of him.
It. You still play now, even though he's gone?
A little bit. Okay. Yeah, I do.
Next time you come in, we'll make you bring the guitar.
Yeah, don't know about that one, but just a really good guy.
Right. I have to imagine now you coming back to the LA Galaxy. There's lots of people, myself probably the biggest person who is expecting you to make some senior team appearances this year. You know the new head coach, Kurt Anolfo. We were talking beforehand. You said that Kurt has been your coach basically longer than Bruce has, realistically. Mm-hmm. What does Kurt Anolfo bring for your game? What did he do for you? And what is he going to bring for this LA Galaxy team?
Oh, I'm excited to find out. I mean, Kurt, for me, has always, given me a chance, and I've definitely had some ups and downs, and he's always trusted in me, and after getting kind of dropped from the first team, he, was happy to take me in and made me his captain last year, which was an honor for me. I can't wait to get started this season.
All right, if anybody has any questions for Jack, you're feel free to call in. The call-in number is 949-734-4217. Once again, 949-734-4217. You have a question for Jack about the upcoming season, about his loan to Coventry, about any questions that you had along his career, we'd love to hear from you. 949-734-4217. The LA Galaxy lose Bruce Arena. Obviously, anytime you lose a coach the caliber of Bruce Arena, there's going to be a vacuum there. There's going to be, you can't replace Bruce. There isn't one. I had this argument with many people for a very long time. Tell me who replaces Bruce Arena, and I'll tell you that somebody probably who doesn't know the league that well. Mm-hmm. You'd have to go international, and even international, you can bring somebody into Major League Soccer who is able to manipulate the rules. So do you feel like this current LA Galaxy front office, you have Kurt Anolfo, you have Pete Vianis, you have Chris Klein, do you feel they're up to the task in 2017?
Oh, most definitely. I think they are, kind of changing the way that Galaxy is being run with Galaxy 2, with the academy, funneling youth players up through the system and just making it more of a home-based club.
Yeah, it does seem to be taking that shift that, like you said, the home-based club. I mean, for a guy who is a homegrown player, What does that mean? What do you see that meaning? Do you think there's enough talent here in Southern California within the LA Galaxy Academy to continue to feed that senior team?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, growing up playing here, there were so many talented kids and, you know, a lot of them didn't make it and mm-hmm. a couple of us did. You know, we still have a lot to prove. But I think, you know, for the most part, we're all motivated and you know, excited to step onto that stage and you know, show what we can do.
Why do you think you made it and some of the other people didn't?
I think I have a really good support team around me. I don't know if you could say I've made it yet, but I mean, made it this far, which is
a lot farther than a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Coaching I've had, in the past, starting with Slammers to the Academy to Galaxy and Galaxy 2. You know, my friends are a big part in that as well. They're always encouraging and you know, when things aren't going well, they'll make jokes and, you know, they don't treat me any different because I'm, you know, a professional soccer player.
Right.
Obviously my parents, my sister, an extended family all love to come to the games and show their support, whether it's Galaxy 2, first team, anything. So
awesome. All right. We have our first phone call here. 951. Who's this?
Hi, this is Juan.
Hey Juan, what do you have a question for Jack?
Yeah, I just wanted to take his quick opinion on what he thinks of this upcoming LAFC rivalry will be like between the Galaxy and LAFC.
What do you think about that? The rivalry, LAFC, LA Galaxy, what do you think?
Yeah, it'll be good. Those games will be intense. They're making a pretty big push to, you know, be a powerhouse in the league, I think, with, you know, their stadium that they're proposing and everything. So those games are going to be fun for the fans and especially fun for the players.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Juan. Yeah, I mean, we talk about that rivalry. That rivalry is going to be, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And you look at how many teams possibly, listen, there's rumors now that possibly even San Diego could get an MLS team. Sacramento is in that line as well. So you, very realistically, there could be five teams in California here very shortly, which of course means that there has to be some sort of California Cup that has to be played about that. So we're taking names. If you have names for the California Cup, besides the California Cup, we'll take those as well. If anybody else has a question for Jack, please give us a call, 949-734-4217. Come on right down. We have about 13 minutes left with Jack, and then he's going to get out of here, and I'm going to finish the rest of the show. So this is the good part of the show. I'm telling you that right now. Get in here. But we talk about, you know, LAFC coming in. That's a big deal, obviously, in Los Angeles. It's going to be another soccer team that could possibly compete with the LA Galaxy. I say possibly because until they put anything on the field, it's great to jump up and down and say they're undefeated and gather all sorts of people. But playing in Major League Soccer is hard.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's only getting better, you know, since I came into the league. You know, the quality of each player and of each team has risen tremendously. So, you know, it's cool to see, kind of take a step back and see how the league's grown in 6 years that I've been playing. And I think it's only going to go up from here.
Do you ever take a step back and look and say 6 years in the league sounds like a long time?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I can't believe it. I mean, I feel like 6 years ago was, you know, it sounds like a long time, but it doesn't feel like it. So,
well, and you have three MLS Cup rings. I
mean, yeah. Yeah.
That's not so bad. You got to play alongside David Beckham. You knew, did you know David well? Did you get to talk with him? Did he ever play any jokes on you?
Yeah, a little bit. A couple of jokes. But, yeah, I mean, one of the most famous people in the world, I think. It was a crazy experience to play with him. Just coming in 16, not knowing what to expect.
Right.
You got Landon Donovan, David Beckham, you know, two of the biggest names in soccer. So, It's cool.
I always found him, despite the fact that he, like you said, and I absolutely agree, he's probably one of the most famous people in the world. I mean, he couldn't go in. Everybody knew who he was. If my mom knows who he was, soccer-wise, right. he was a big deal. But I always found him very down to earth.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. No, extremely down to earth and, you know, real family man, always had his kids around. And he's just a nice guy, really.
Yeah,
nice guy.
I sort of said that. Landon Donovan, we talk about him as well. Obviously, Landon not coming back to the LA Galaxy. Possibility that he plays elsewhere in 2017, which I think would be a little strange for a lot of LA Galaxy fans. But what did Landon mean to the LA Galaxy? What did he mean to you?
Landon was huge for the LA Galaxy. I think he kind of put them on the map, you know. he was biggest player that U.S. soccer has ever seen. And, you know, whether he still plays next year or does something else in the game, I mean, he's always going to have an influence on it, I think, as he should, because he's had such a great career and another good guy who's just normal.
Yeah, so. he sort of seems that, again, away from the microphones and stuff like that, occasionally I get a glimpse of these guys, and for the most part, they're all, guess what? They're normal guys. And yeah. I know that's tough for some people to understand sometimes, but yeah, that's what it is. Let's talk about the upcoming 2017 season. Like I said, I think there's a lot of expectations on you and a lot of the younger guys this year. As you said, the front office has sort of made it a priority to make sure that you guys get some minutes and that you're carrying this team going forward, the LA Galaxy, in search of some big designated player names as well. But at the same time, they expect that this club be brought up on the backs of the younger guys. What kind of pressure do you feel? You're looking forward to the opportunity. What do you take from the 2017 season, looking forward to it?
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, going into some seasons in the past, you know, you have such big names in the forward position that, you know, it can kind of be intimidating. Mm-hmm. But this year, I mean, I'm sure we'll sign a couple more players. I don't know, but you know, I think we'll get our opportunities, and you know, we have to take it and run with it, like, you know, so many have done in the past.
I mean, what do you see your role is this year? I mean, what's your goal? What do you see your role as a player?
It's hard to say right now. You know, I just want to get into preseason, get through it healthy, and, you know, score goals whenever I'm on the field. That's the only thing I really need to be worrying about. I think sometimes in the past I'd set goals that, you know, maybe were a little unrealistic, or if I didn't reach them within the first 6 months of the season, I would, you know, feel like it was a failure. So, I mean, just get in there, stay healthy, work hard, keep my head down, score goals, and you know, hopefully everything works itself out.
I mean, it seems like there's going to be opportunities. I see you as a sub player that comes off the bench, who's able to influence a game, possibly playing that starting role as a striker, you know, sort of being able to play with Giovanni Dos Santos or even a Jossie Zardes in that play. What do you think of both of those players and how you played with, I think, both of them before? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what are you looking forward to with them?
Yeah, I mean, they're huge pieces on our team for this next season. Obviously, Gio's world class. He's played at huge clubs and was debatably MVP last season.
He was named player of the year by the fans.
Yeah.
So yes.
And Giassi as well. I mean, just to see how he's grown in, what's it been, five years?
Yeah, it feels four or 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. Seeing him, you know, being a consistent national team player now. You know, he's incredible athlete and good soccer player as well, and just keeps getting better every year. So it's fun to play with those guys.
All right, at Flying Soccer Dad on Twitter writes in and says, Jack, Rams, Chargers, or other?
Ooh, Chargers, I guess.
I guess that might be. We are going to talk about the Chargers coming to LA.
Packers.
The Packers. All right. So you go other. That's in the other column.
Other.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the Chargers coming to LA and making StubHub Center a home for them. So that'll be interesting to see how that all comes down. You talk about scoring goals. I mean, you were able to score at you in the USL level at a pretty amazing rate. Quite honestly, if you would have stayed at USL, you may have obliterated some records there, because they were going in pretty quick, pretty fast. And like I said, you barely lost. I mean, I think you lost by like 2 goals.
Yeah, something like that.
And so it took like the last 2 weeks of the season for those guys to pass you. I was convinced that you were going to win there for a little while. I mean, how much harder is it going to be to score goals in Major League Soccer? And you know, did you find it even hard to score goals, you know, at the U21 level over with Coventry City?
Yeah, I mean, MLS is obviously, you know, a different beast than USL. But when I was playing in USL a couple of years ago, I only scored 6 goals. So it's just kind of a, you know, a confidence thing. And, you know, if I'm playing well and, you know, things are going right, hopefully I'll score goals. We'll see. I mean, it's definitely a lot tougher to score goals in MLS. There's no doubt about it, but I think it can happen, and I think I can do it.
A lot of people probably, a lot of fans probably don't have maybe the same lofty expectations. That's not true. They have the same expectations. You guys are going to have to win an MLS Cup in order to make them happy. But I think maybe they don't have as much confidence in the fact that you'll get there. What can you say about, I know you're just back. You haven't even met with the team yet. I mean, the preseason starts on Monday, the 23rd of January, coming up very soon. But still, you haven't even been there. But what can you say to the fans to tell them, you know, what this LA Galaxy team is looking forward to in 2017?
Yeah, I'd just say it's going to be a fun team to watch. You know, there's going to be a lot of youth out there, hopefully. You know, playing fast, scoring goals. Gosh, I mean, I don't know. I guess you'll just have to come out and watch and see.
That's good. The PR guys will like that one. I like that one, too.
Yeah.
All right. We just have about 3 minutes left here with Jack. So, if you have any phone calls, 949-734-4217. This is your last chance, because otherwise I'll keep talking and we'll keep going with that way. Your favorite moment so far as an LA Galaxy player?
Oof. There's been a lot. I mean, obviously winning an MLS Cup, but didn't really play in any of those games.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be my first game in Houston scoring.
That's right. You came in your first game, yeah. and you scored a goal. How old were you at that?
16. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was that very first year.
Yeah.
Did you think that things were on the rise then? I mean, how can you not, right?
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. No, when I signed, I thought by the time I was 21, I'd be, you know, starting in every game, national team, whatever. But, you know, I've learned that it's a grind and it's a hard, hard profession, but, you know, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 310, who's this?
Timmy D.
Hey, how's it going? All right, you have a question for Jack?
Yeah, ask Jackie how fast was he able to get used to the Coventry speed?
Jack, you just asked him yourself. I don't even have to. So how the Coventry speed, how difficult was it? Was the pace of play quicker?
It was. Yeah, a lot quicker. It's a different, totally different game. The fields are wet. The ball's skipping everywhere. You know, guys are flying into tackles at you. Different than here. Teams are always high pressing, so you got to move the ball quick. There's no time on the ball, especially for center forward. So.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand even at the U21 level, right? I mean, there is a difference, and that's what I was trying to tell people. Again, I got to watch some of your games, so I saw it there. 818, who's this?
Hey, Josh, this is Ronald.
Hey, Ronald. How's it going, buddy?
Good. I just wanted to ask Jack, just out of curiosity. Obviously, we're glad to have you back, and I look forward to seeing you this season. And I just wanted to ask what the team that you were on loan for, if they... what they thought about MLS, and more specifically, what they thought about the Galaxy.
Great question, Ronald.
Yeah,
all
good
right,
question. Well, yeah, I think they, you know, they value MLS, and they see, you know, prospects. Obviously, they signed Andy Rose, who's you know, consistent starter, on Coventry, and they had a guy Chris McCann who's going. Who was on loan from Atlanta United, who's playing their next season. So, you know, I think some of the players maybe don't respect it as much,
right?
But definitely, I mean, it's getting more respect from front office down. So,
hey, Ronald, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh. Have a good one.
All right, you too. All right, so again, you got about 30 seconds if you want to get in here, 949-734-4217, and then Jack has to be on his way. Jack, I want to thank you for stopping by and talking with me. I know we've had you on the show. You've called in once or twice before. We've talked a bunch after LA Galaxy 2 games as it has passed, but this is a big year. I can tell you're already psyched for it. You just came back. You're still in the playing mode, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, you'd think coming back I'd want a little bit of time off, but I'm ready to get right back into it.
You think possibly U.S. men's national team, if you play well, Bruce Arena knows where you're at. Bruce's desk is only about 100 yards away. That's what I've told.
Yeah, I don't need to be thinking about that right now. But, I mean, that'd obviously be a dream come true if that day ever comes. So just have that in the back of my mind and you know, ever need any inspiration, motivation, or whatever.
Yeah, we're big fans, or at least I'll speak for myself on the show. I know my other co-hosts, they may have their own opinions. I think we're all big fans of you, but I'm a big fan of yours. I think that you're going to do great this year. We're all rooting for, you know, the young kids to really show that this change of direction the LA Galaxy have made, which I think is the correct one in the long term, really works out. And we, again, really want to thank you for stopping by, because we know that you're busy. You're still jet lagged. You showed up and you talked to us. So
thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. All right.
Good to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So there's Jack McBean, LA Galaxy striker. Make sure you go to lagalaxy.com/tickets and you can go ahead and get tickets for the upcoming season. Of course, that's always important for you to do. It's something I always tell people to do. So please get out there and do it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Whenever we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Chargers coming to Los Angeles, LA Galaxy two coaches, and anything else I can scrape up for the next 30 minutes. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. We'll be right back. Ready for some more Corner of the Galaxy? Don't forget to head over to the website for all the latest podcasts, news, and more. Visit us online at cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Hey, this is Chris.
This is Eddie.
This is Jason.
And we're from Back Pocket Memory, and you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Getzman with you once again. Well, I thought that went pretty well. Jack McBean, first LA Galaxy player in the COG studio, mostly because Jack doesn't live too far from here, so it's not a ridiculous drive that I ask people to make. We're glad everybody can join us. Thank you very much for the phone call. That really helped me out. I didn't have to talk the whole time. You guys had some great stuff there. So looking forward to having Jack back on, hopefully after he has scored about a zillion goals for the LA Galaxy in that super sub role that I have told you he's going to play. All right. I think it's going to be interesting. Should be an interesting season, and it gets more interesting as we go, of course. In the news today, the San Diego Chargers, I should say formerly San Diego Chargers, have decided that they're going to play in Los Angeles in the 2017 season. I'd love to know your thoughts on this, quite honestly. I know some of you have already left. You don't want to pay attention to the show anymore, but if you have any comments on the Chargers coming to LA and what that will do to the LA Galaxy. I'm not here to talk American football. That's not my thing, and it's not my... I could care less, quite honestly. But the Chargers coming to StubHub Center as their home for the next 2 years starting in the 2017 season. Realistically, you can start seeing that, like, you know, August, September, right in the playoff run for the LA Galaxy, and that's when you're going to get to sort of experience what an NFL football team will do to the field at StubHub Center. It certainly has a lot of questions. At least there's a lot of questions from my side. Now, a lot of people are saying, hey, this is, you know, even if you want to take the fact that the Chargers are coming to LA and that you think the LA Galaxy are going to somehow benefit from the Chargers coming to, Los Angeles and StubHub Center, I will tell you this. I am almost, and I don't have confirmation on this, but I am almost certain that the LA Galaxy did not choose to have the Chargers play at StubHub Center. I believe that that was not the case. I didn't believe the LA Galaxy said, oh yes, please, NFL Chargers, come in and tear up our field and put football lines on our field because we think that will look swell and great. I do believe this was an AEG decision. And yes, these are two separate entities, separate to the point where AEG owns the LA Galaxy and therefore could tell the LA Galaxy what they want to do. For their part, the LA Galaxy have put out an open letter. Chris Klein, LA Galaxy president, has put out an open letter. And I'll read that to you here. The LA Galaxy, it says, LA Galaxy supporters, the LA Galaxy are excited to welcome the Los Angeles Chargers to StubHub Center for the 2017 NFL season. StubHub Center is and will continue to be the home of the LA Galaxy. This stadium belongs to you. We believe that StubHub Center is a cathedral for soccer in North America, and that will not change. Our fans are paramount to this club, and this decision was made with you in mind. The Chargers play at StubHub Center this season will benefit the LA Galaxy and our supporters. Having the Chargers play at StubHub Center will allow us to invest and upgrade our state-of-the-art facility and game day experience, and we will work diligently with StubHub Center to uphold and maintain the integrity of our field and the authenticity of the soccer experience at StubHub Center. This investment will ensure that we have additional infrastructure to support the Galaxy, Galaxy 2, our academy, and each and every fan of our club in Southern California. We are excited about the start of the 2017 MLS season and look forward to seeing you soon. It says, Go Galaxy, Chris Klein. That is the open letter to supporters from LA Galaxy president Chris Klein. All right, here's the thing. I do believe they're going to see some additional money. I think they're going to see some additional money, quite honestly, because the NFL is going to mandate basically that the StubHub Center be as good of a stadium as it possibly can be, and something that NFL you know, watchers are able to, you know, digest and understand and put their arms around. I mean, StubHub Center is a very good soccer stadium. We know that. It's not perfect. It's probably a little bit too far away from the field for my likings. I would have liked it if it was a little bit closer, but you have to remember that the trend for having these soccer-specific stadiums and the fans right on top of the field kind of wasn't quite there yet whenever they built StubHub Center, formerly Home Depot Center, all those things. So, again, it's not perfect. Do I think that there should be, you know, more shade in some areas? Absolutely. I'm sure the supporters groups understand that. I think the addition of that big screen television basically means that the shade over in the supporters section may never happen. You'd have to put the shade over top of the big screen board. And that gets, you know, coming from a construction standpoint, being that's what I actually do for my real job, that puts structurally that gets a little crazy. So I don't think that you're ever going to see that. But I do believe that maybe the sound system will get upgraded. And it's one of the complaints I think that some of you have had, and I understand that. I think that some of the concession stands will be upgraded, which, I mean, we could all love that. That'll be great, too. You know, they're going to probably have to build their own locker room facilities inside of StubHub Center. And how does that work with pushing other things around? Remember that StubHub Center is also the home to the U.S. men's soccer team. Actually, U.S. soccer on the West Coast. So the women's team, including that, there are locker rooms upon locker rooms inside of StubHub Center already, right now. I've been in a bunch of them, actually, whenever I've done different recordings. So, you know, you're going to have an NFL team that has... How many players are on it now? I'm sure this is something I probably could have looked up beforehand, but what, 60, 70, 80 players? Overall, you have to have facilities for all of that, including the coaching staff, which is gigantic as well. So all that stuff is going to have to be accommodated inside StubHub Center, and it doesn't surprise me. The Chargers will have to pay for all of that if they want that facility. Somebody wrote an article, which I thought was interesting, and even if it was to poke fun, that the Chargers' new NFL stadium home, which is the StubHub Center, if it would rank 108th in terms of college football stadiums in capacity, 27,000, although I'm sure the Chargers are going to figure out a way to get more than 27,000 in there. I'm guessing you're going to be around 30 or 32,000. At least maybe we'll finally know what all those sellout numbers actually are. Although, hey, maybe it is exactly 27,000. Although I think maybe there's still a couple of us who have volunteered to go count every single seat. Just to see exactly what the capacity is. Maybe that's one of those things. Maybe we need to crowdfund that together in one of these days, figure out exactly how many seats are at StubHub Center. But I have a feeling we're going to get maybe a little bit closer to that answer with the Chargers. But in terms of the surface, it's a natural surface. You know that. It's grass. It's wonderful. It's one of the better pitches in Major League Soccer. And the fact that an NFL team is going to play there, I mean, imagine if they played there at any time this week. I'm sure the Combine, MLS Combine, with the MLS draft coming up on Friday, I'm sure the Combine has torn that field apart, and they played a couple games on it, you know, two games a day, that type of thing. With a little bit of moisture, that's how that grass goes. You're going to tear up the field. So what's an NFL team going to do to that? And how are you going to get rid of, you know, Chris Klein talks about the integrity. How are you going to get rid of the football lines? I think it would be a big mistake to ever have football lines on your field when LAFC is opening up a brand new stadium that's not going to have any football lines on it, that isn't going to have a tenant that's an NFL, an NFL football team right there. That's going to do, I don't know how you can protect the grass. I think at some point down the stretch, in whenever the weather turns a little bit colder, whenever you have the Chargers playing in that September, October, November range, right during the playoffs, that the LA Galaxy are going to play on a compromised field. I mean, there's no way around it. You see what happens to the turf in Seattle on a regular basis. Now, granted, the priorities have shifted here. All right, they have switched. They've come around. The MLS, at least everything we've been told, is that the LA Galaxy have priority over the field. That is their field. And that the Chargers are renting, so the Chargers have to work their schedule around the LA Galaxy schedule. So if that's true, then, that's better. Maybe it'll mean less Sunday games for the LA Galaxy, which I know a lot of you would probably be pretty excited about. But you have to remember, those are nationally televised games when they're on Sunday. Sunday afternoon games are almost always nationally televised, and that's a big boost to the LA Galaxy to have a lot of their games nationally televised. So, is that going to end some of that? I mean, there's so many questions, and granted, we're not going to have all the answers. Chris Klein's scheduled to come on this show sometime next week, and I will let you fill you in on the exact details whenever that happens. But still, it's one of those things that all these questions have to be answered, and I wouldn't blame you one bit for being upset that somebody's going to come in to StubHub Center and wreck the field, because quite honestly, I feel that way. How can you not have that happen? So anyway, that's the Chargers coming to Los Angeles. I don't care. I'm not an NFL guy. I know a lot of people are, and I'm not. I don't judge you. Have fun with football. Do that whole thing. I'm just telling you that the Chargers at the LA Galaxy right now, coming to play at StubHub Center, is going to be really interesting. All right. Really, really interesting to see how that dynamic goes and who really has priority. I mean, when you're going to look at the payroll of the San Diego Chargers, who probably have one of the lower payrolls in the league, and then you're going to look at the payroll of the LA Galaxy, who's really going to have final say in a lot of these things? So it's crazy. The capacity alone should have had the Chargers look elsewhere. But that's not how it happens. So now we get to deal with that. Now, granted, we won't have to deal with it right away. But I definitely think for me, as a press member, that things will be more interesting with an NFL team around. I mean, StubHub Center is already, a hub for soccer, and there's always a lot of things going on, and sometimes it can be difficult to navigate that. So what do you do whenever you have the NFL out there as well? And where are the practice facilities going to be for the Chargers? Are they going to take one of those outer fields? How does that all work? I mean, there's so much logistical work that needs to be done before that happens. And of course, we'll try to keep you updated on all of that stuff as it comes down, and get your opinions on it. I mean, this show is always yours. You're always welcome to call in whenever we have a live show, 949-734-4217. Please give us a call if you have an opinion on this. But for right now, we're going to move on and talk about the LA Galaxy 2 getting a... Oh, see? Even before. All right, let's bring somebody on. 323, who's this?
What's going on, Josh? It's Jose.
Jose, buddy. How's it going?
Good. All alone today, huh?
It is what it is. Had Jack in for a little bit. Now it's all me. That's fine.
Great interview with Jack, by the way. I came in a little late, but I appreciated all the questions you asked and how open you had the discussion where fans could actually ask him questions. And we're going to need Jack this season, because with Gold Cup coming up, Confederations Cup coming up, you're going to lose more than likely Jossie Sardis. Probably Sebastian Ojeda, now that he's got called up to the January camp. And obviously, you also might be able to, you might have to lose Giovanni Dos Santos possibly to tournaments if he gets called for the Gold Cup and for the Confederations Cup. So,
and Jermaine Jones. Realistically, we have to put Jones in that category as well.
I almost forgot about that. You're right. I mean, the team is going to be in need of much needed depth. And I believe Jack, like you mentioned, he's going to be an integral part when those guys are all gone. He's going to have to step up and more or less show the fans that, the whole time when he was in the USL, it wasn't a fluke, that he could actually perform this in an MLS level. As far as the Chargers are concerned, it's, again, like I think you mentioned it and you kind of described it very clearly that, if it was up to just the Galaxy, I'm sure 100% that they would have ask the Chargers to kind of look elsewhere. But, you know, it's an AEG-owned facility. AEG-owned various teams in different sports. So I'm almost the decision came from AEG and not from the LA Galaxy. So if it means less friendlies against European teams or other teams maybe even from Mexico, I know like they're floating the idea of having like a rebirth of the Super League, another Liga MX doesn't have Copa Libertadores.
Right.
I'm all for them not having to play at any of those friendlies if it means, you know, the Chargers having to pay up that money instead. And like I said, you know, it's going to pay up the LA Galaxy Academy. It's going to help pay for those bills as well. And it's basically going to pay the bills that normally get paid when Barcelona or Real Madrid come in town and the LA Galaxy have to play them and obviously risk some of the players getting injured in those games. So from that standpoint, I don't mind, but yeah, having football lines and residual lines that kind of look faded while you're going to go to a game, especially with a nationally televised game, yeah, it's not going to be a good look.
No, especially with LA. Especially with LAFC coming in. I mean, you're trying to put out your best product this year. This has to be your new look LA Galaxy. It has to be the best that you possibly can get. And you're going to give me a nationally televised game in October with playoff implications, with seeding, with whatever's going to happen. Some game is going to be on the line, and you're going to have football lines out there.
Yeah, eventually, especially in the playoffs. I think that's probably the more unlikely scenario where you're going to probably see those residual lines stand out even more. You know, for the regular season, obviously NFL is going to have to schedule their the Chargers games around, you know, whatever MLS already dictated for the Galaxy to play.
Right.
You know, and I really doubt they're going to, you know, have a Galaxy play on a Saturday or vice versa, where they're going to have the Chargers, you know, set up camp the next day. That's probably going to be something they're going to try to avoid.
Right.
And at least give the grounds crew at least a minimum a week or so to either take the lines out or do that. But I got a tweet. I remember tweeted out on Twitter to Vernon Hannon, and he mentioned that there's going to be no football lines on it. The way I see it, I'd rather see it to believe it.
Right.
And I think it's going to be kind of more of a proving point with the playoffs coming down. Because that's, you know, it's still going to be in October. NFL season is pretty much like in the midpoint at that point. So if the Cavs can keep progressing and NFL season is running concurrently to the playoffs, we might run into issues that way throughout the, you know, from October going forward, essentially. So
it's going to be really interesting, Jose. Listen, if Brendan Hannon, you know, works over at the LA Galaxy front office, everybody knows who Brendan Hannon is, and I work with him a lot, and he's done a great job with our show, getting great guys on there, and really he's one of the guys who makes a lot of things work over there. LA Galaxy marketing, PR, and digital. He's a great guy. If he says there's no football lines, then you have to hold Brendan Hannon to it. No football lines.
Yeah, I mean, that was a direct tweet and like a response to me. And I think we've heard it even through someone from like a spokesperson to the Galaxy. I'm not sure if they quoted specifically Brendan, but they kind of made it adamant, like a clear point that, you know, we're not going to have any football lines, I guess, during the MLS season. So yeah, I agree. You got to hold them accountable if you can still see the lines or it takes away from the experience. You know, I'd ask anyone, especially if you're a season ticket holder, you know, you got to, I'm sure they're more than happy to kind of take your feedback. Because Brendan, you know, he's actually pretty active on Twitter. You know, anyone that kind of has questions or, you know, any feedback they give to the team, he's actually pretty good at responding. So that I do kind of appreciate from a PR standpoint.
No, it's going to, hey, Jose, I'm gonna let you go, buddy, but I appreciate the call. But no, I think it's going to be really interesting for the LA Galaxy and what happens with this particular, with the Chargers being there. And again, we're going to have to see. I mean, if you don't like something, I implore you to obviously write and you know, tell me, tell anybody if you think the Chargers are somehow you know, affecting. Somebody said maybe they'd finally have enough money to fix the parking problem at StubHub Center. And I'm starting to believe that's just a design issue that may never be solved. Doesn't matter how much money you throw at it. It just, there seems to be a lot of cars and not that many ways to get in or out. So regardless, maybe should we blame our car culture We could. Should we blame the lack of public transportation? We should. Maybe the Chargers will get that public transportation rolling. Maybe that's how it's going to work with their continual sellouts of 27,000 at StubHub Center. Probably 27,000 plus. I want to get real quick to LA Galaxy 2 naming the Academy director. Mike Munoz is now the head coach of LA Galaxy 2. If you're a longtime listener, you'll remember that Mike not only listens to our show on a regular basis, but he has been on the show once or twice before. So congratulations to Mike Munoz, headed over to LA Galaxy 2. I love Mike. He is a great coach. Really like what he's done with the Academy. And to see him at LA Galaxy 2, it makes a lot of sense. You know, if you're looking for him, the best internal candidates and where it's gone, and you have to throw out Dave Sarokin. We already talked with Dave Sarokin. We know about that. But if you throw out Dave Sarokin, then, you know, Kurt Anolfo and Mike Munoz are how this is all going to work. And quite honestly, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. I really like Mike. We'll get him on the show, guaranteed. I will work really hard to make sure that that happens. I always say guaranteed, and, you know, now we see how that goes. But no, this is something that the LA Galaxy should do, is take Mike Munoz and put him into that LA Galaxy too. Who knows, you're possibly seeing a future LA Galaxy head coach as well. Mike Munoz is great. So really looking forward to him. And like I said, we will get him on this show so that we can talk to him about his philosophies and what he's looking for at LA Galaxy 2 as well. The LA Galaxy also, and just as real quick, because I'm sure we're going to look into this a lot more whenever we do another show next week, the LA Galaxy now have their schedule. It is out. The preseason schedule obviously includes that Saturday, February 11th game at the San Jose Earthquakes in Las Vegas. So San Jose and LA Galaxy will head to Las Vegas and Cashman Field in order to play in that preseason. You already knew about the home opener because they already released that one Saturday, March 4th, 2017 at 1 p.m. against FC Dallas. Reigning Supporter Shield champions FC Dallas come in, and that's actually the way the LA Galaxy will close their season as well, is at FC Dallas on Sunday, October 22nd, 2017. So that's where the LA Galaxy will be in those two dates. But your first five opening games include FC Dallas, home to the Portland Timbers on Sunday, March 12th, away to Real Salt Lake. The very first away game is at Rio Tinto and Real Salt Lake on Saturday, March 18th. And there it's up to Vancouver on Saturday, April 1st. April Fool's Day will be up in Vancouver. So get on up there for that game, LA Galaxy and Vancouver at BC Place, and then they will be home to host the Montreal Impact away to Orlando. There's your Disney World trip. If you're looking to go to Disney World at Orlando, Saturday, April 15th. I don't know if Avatar Land will be open in time or not, but that's coming close. I mean, if you really want some Disney insider stuff, that's always fun. We can talk about that. But anyway, Sunday, April 23rd, home to Seattle. MLS Cup champs. Ugh, that hurts. MLS Cup champs Seattle on Sunday, April 23rd. Just to highlight a couple other ones. Sunday, May 21st, away to Minnesota United. That will be interesting. That one's broadcast on ESPN. That's a 2 p.m. Pacific time kickoff at brand new expansion team Minnesota United on Sunday, May 21st. Cali Classico on Saturday, May 27th, away at Avaya Stadium. Look at that. San Jose decides to play the LA Galaxy in the stadium they actually built to play in that team instead of at Stanford Stadium. It's something new they're trying, I guess. Let's see. What are some of the other ones? Away to DC United Saturday, June 3rd, one of the oldest rivalries in Major League Soccer. LA Galaxy traveling to DC United. San Jose again. So twice away at San Jose. Oh, that's always fun, isn't it? Two times away at San Jose this year. Again, this one is... Oh, see, I even lied. Did I lie or did I go too far whenever I was scrolling? Anyway, let's see. We have a home game Sunday, August 27th, the San Jose Earthquakes. And then there is another away game. There it is, Saturday, July 1st, which will be interesting because you have a Saturday, July 1st game where the LA Galaxy will travel to San Jose to play at Stanford Stadium, of course. And you knew there was one in there. Broadcast live on Univision. And then just 3 days later, Tuesday, July 4th, the July 4th game, the LA Galaxy continue the tradition of playing a July 4th game, although this year they probably shouldn't. They will face off against Real Salt Lake on Tuesday, July 4th. They'll host them at StubHub Center, so that will be your July 4th game. Seattle home July 29th. Let's see, any other ones? Home to New York City FC on Sunday, August 13th. away to Minnesota United. There is your other expansion team, Saturday, August 19th. If you're looking to play, go over and see the LA Galaxy play at brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a game that will be broadcast live on ESPN. It's at Atlanta United on Saturday, August 19th. So that'll be good as well. The home game against Minnesota United, remember you're in the Western Conference here, the home game against Minnesota United is October 15th, 2017 at 2 p.m. The LA Galaxy will host Minnesota United FC. And like I said, wrap up the season Sunday, October 22nd, FC Dallas. FC Dallas. So bookends for FC Dallas. Looks like you may only play FC Dallas twice. Is that right? Yeah, there's some. Obviously, some in your conference you play twice. Some you play three times. I'll have a breakdown for all that over on cornerofthegalaxy.com, which is always great for you to check out as well. All right, I think that about does it. I'm done talking. You guys are probably done listening. We had a great job. We really want to thank Jack McBean for stopping by the studio and talking to us for a little bit. Loved your questions, guys. Always appreciate it. I'll try to do as many of these as I possibly can, so that way you can call in, talk to some of these players, and get their insights on different things. Jack McBean could be a big part of this team in 2017. I think if you're an LA Galaxy fan, you should hope he's a big part of the team in 2017, that he is sort of that super sub replacement, sort of that guy who Alan Gordon used to be, although Alan Gordon certainly reprised that role, and I wouldn't be surprised if Alan Gordon does. Real quick before we get out of here, Jeffrey Carlisle reporting of ESPN FC. Jeffrey Carlisle, who's just on the show earlier this week. If you missed that out, make sure you head over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. But Jeffrey Carlisle is reporting that the LA Galaxy and Jermaine Jones are close to a deal. No surprise there. We expected it to happen. It should happen. All right. And hopefully we'll see what happens. Again, the numbers will tell the story on the Jermaine Jones deal, and if we ever know the numbers, which we will eventually, then we can judge that deal, because it'll be interesting to see if they use Tam to sign him. That's a lot of money. Played 9 games for Colorado, still helped him out, but only played 9 games for Colorado. So if you remember how many times Dave Romney played last year, then Dave Romney played more than Jermaine Jones. So keep an eye on that as we go forward. All right, we'll have another show coming up next week, but let's see. As for right now, I think this absolutely does it. I'm tired, you're tired, everybody's tired. Again, big thanks to the LA Galaxy, Chris Glidden, Brendan Hannon for making Jack McBean available to us on this wonderful night, and thanks for Jack for stopping by as well. All right, that'll do it for now. I'm Josh Gessman. You've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. We will definitely catch you next time. Life was on a stage, like a puppet missing strings.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.